Fox Soccer commentator John Strong, who's joining us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, guys. Hello from a few miles up the highway.
John, tell us a little bit about what your impression is in terms of the impact broadly of this particular game, because it's going to set a record for the biggest crowd ever at an MLS Cup final. That's something we're certainly proud of here in Atlanta. But will that translate into big monster TV ratings, do you think?
We hope so, certainly in context to MLS ratings. You know, when we 2 years ago we did this where we moved MLS Cup to the second Saturday of December, and the point being it's the Saturday after the end of the college football season. So there's just less traffic. There's less stuff going on primetime on a Saturday night. And that got the best rating for an MLS Cup in about 15 years. And that was with a Canadian team. That was Toronto against Seattle. And so I think certainly the hope and the expectation is that to have Atlanta, which has been such a wonderful story the last 2 years in American soccer, certainly even in a general sports context in this country, people notice when they're 70,000 plus, but not just that the fans are in the building, the atmosphere, the noise, the color. And what we also hope is going to be a really good game as well, as good as Atlanta have been offensively the last 2 years and as well primed as they are for this opportunity, that Portland as well, champions 3 years ago, who have had success all three rounds in the playoffs, they have advanced on the road, that we think this could be a pretty special final. And you guys certainly understand how, you know, as a game is going on, social media sort of grows and grows and people are hearing about this and they tune in. So we're very excited for what could be really a special night in American soccer tomorrow night here in Atlanta.
You know, I'm just kind of curious from your perspective, why do you think all of a sudden now that this was the right time for soccer to catch on in America?
Well, I can give you an hour-long answer to that question in truth, and I'll try to cut it down, but I think a lot of it is just generational. I mean, I was growing up as a kid in the early 90s, and we all played soccer, but none of us were soccer fans. There was no soccer to be a fan of, really. And so, you know, you have these keystone moments. The 94 World Cup gets on people's radar. For someone of my age, it was the FIFA video games on my Nintendo 64, starting to have in the real big growth of cable and satellite television that there was soccer on TV you could watch. And so it grows and it grows. And I always share the anecdote that, yeah, when I was a kid, we didn't play soccer on the playground at school. We weren't fans of the team. And I go past, there's an elementary school we live by now, and those kids are all playing soccer on the playground, and they're wearing soccer jerseys, and certainly my son is being raised with as much soccer around him as, he's 5 years old, anyone else, you know, around the world. So it's growth, it's generational in the same way as, you know, I always say that, you know, the NFL was not always the most popular league. There was a time when the NBA was sort of a small regional thing. It, you know, sports in America, they grow and they change and they evolve. And by the way, there's no guarantees about the growth of soccer. That was something even sitting down with Arthur Blank in his office yesterday. He talked about needing to still make the right decisions and do the right things for its growth. But this is a great mile marker that in a city like Atlanta, in a part of the country that a lot of us, myself included, didn't think that soccer was popular, that you're going to have 72,000 for a championship game. It's pretty special.
Talking with John Strong, who's going to be calling the game for Fox on national TV with Stuart Holden tomorrow night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with John and Hugh. John, you used to do the Portland Timbers, so you can give us a unique kind of insight into a lot of fans who might know, not because it's not like Atlanta United's been around long, nor did they have a long and lengthy history with the Portland Timbers, save for that 1-1 tie earlier in the year. The two reigning MVPs, Diego Valeri and now Joseph Martinez, what do you expect? What kind of a game, what can the fans expect to see out of Portland as they try and slow down Atlanta United?
Well, you know, Portland, it's easy to get hung up on the fact they're the number 5 seed in the Western Conference, and I think that's a little bit of a misnomer based on how their season went this year. And the long story short for them is they got off to a very slow start because of stadium construction. They played the first month and a half of the season away from home. And they figured things out in the spring, but then, you know, as the season went along, they got a little bit too defensive. The losses started to pile up, and so they've actually changed the way that they've played over the course of the season. In the same way as Atlanta has changed their style a bit in the playoffs, becoming not more defensive, but just a little bit more direct, a little bit more pragmatic, a little bit less worried about how it looks and a little bit more worried about getting the results, Portland has changed from what had earlier this season been a very defensive style, and certainly that was their mindset when they came to Atlanta in June, to being a bit more aggressive. Certainly still looking to get out on the counterattack and be very quick in the attack. And with, you mentioned Diego Valeri, the reigning MVP, Sebastian Blanco, who grew up with Valeri, they played in the same club in Argentina as kids, has been very effective this postseason. They have been much more willing to be more aggressive defensively in the playoffs than they have been earlier. They're very confident because they point to the fact that in the playoffs, they went on the road to Dallas and won. They went on the road to Seattle and won in a shootout. They went on the road to Kansas City, and they won in the Western Conference Championship. And so they really feel like the noise, they have noise. They have great crowds in Portland. The artificial surface, they have the same turf in Portland. There's nothing here that they don't feel that they can deal with. However, in saying that, Atlanta do have an extra gear offensively, and not even just the players they start with, Almirón and Joseph Martinez, but bringing off the bench Hector Villalba and Ezequiel Barco, those are two players that would be starting for any other team in this league, that they come off the bench for Atlanta. So that is where I would be wary if I'm Portland. Certainly a hot start. You can see the goal early. The place is going bonkers. Now you're on your heels. But also, as the game stretches on, 70 minutes, 80 minutes, your legs are tired. It's been a long season. And now all of a sudden you have game changers coming off the bench for Atlanta. That's where for Portland, you have to make sure that when those one or two opportunities come up, and you're going to get your chances, but there's not going to be many, you got to make sure you take them. Because if you're doing too much defending in this game tomorrow night, Atlanta have a lot of different ways they can wear you down.
You know, we know about Valeri and Blanco, but what does Diego Chara bring to the table?
Diego Chara is a fascinating player. So he was the first really big-name designated player that Portland signed right when they came into the league in 2011. And he was one of the very early players from South America that chose to come to MLS, chose to come to the United States, and really has opened the floodgates. And certainly you see the way Atlanta has built their roster from South America. Chara is a fascinating player. He is one of the smallest players on the field. He leads the league since he entered the league in 2011. No one has committed more fouls. No one has gotten more yellow cards. And yet he does them with this big smile of his. You'll notice that on the field a lot, that he gets this big smile on his face when he hacks through a player. And yet he also has the ability, and that's been a bit of a change in how Portland has played. They've been letting him get more forward in the attack, and he'll make these big runs forward. He only scores one or two goals a year. But he's someone, exactly like you said, you focus on the big boys in front, and then here comes this little Colombian, Diego Chara, running up from behind, and he's unmarked, and he bangs one in. So this is a team, Portland, that has more than half of their starting lineup returning from the team that won the championship 3 years ago. And so that's why I say, when they're not going to be overly intimidated by what they're facing in Atlanta, Diego Chara is a great example of that.
Well, we look forward to the game, John. It's going to be a lot of fun. Packed house. Going to be a magical night. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes.
And we're so excited for tomorrow as well. Thanks for having me on, guys.